So in this beautiful text called Upadesh Sar, which is the essence of all teachings, we have studied that there are four paths to reach Him or to grow spiritually. One is the path of Karma Yoga or service, the path of love or devotion, the path of Raja Yoga, where you do those yoga exercises, breathing, you know, austerities. And then fourth is the path of knowledge. So all four are covered in brief in this text. That's why it's called Sara. The essence of the entire teachings is covered in this simple text. So in the last couple of weeks, we had talked about the path of karma, or the path of service. And we have talked about how our actions can become a service to the Lord. So unselfish activity dedicated to the Lord is called Karma Yoga. And we had talked in detail about it. Now we are on the path of love or devotion. So how do I express my love for the Lord? Last week we had said that at the body level, when you use your body, your speech, and your mind, you can do rituals, you can do prayers. When you want to chant the name of the Lord, you're only using your speech and your mind. So in the first, you're using the body, the speech, and the mind. When you're praying, when you're offering, lighting a candle or offering something. When you're only chanting the name of the Lord, you're using only your speech and your mind. And then the third is contemplation or meditation, which we do, where you only use your mind. So today we'll talk about the first two. One is worship and one is chanting the name of the Lord. Contemplation or meditation will be covered later in this text. So we'll chant the verse number 5 on page 18. What is worship? What is puja? What is worship? It says, Jagat Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam. Yukta Sevanam. Ashtamurti Bhret Deva Pujanam. Ashtamurti Bhret Deva Pujanam. So, Jagat. Jagat is the world. Ishadhi means as if it is the Lord. Isha is the Lord. Sevanam, Jagat Sevanam. So serving the world as if I am serving the Lord is true worship. And why? Because what is the Lord? The Lord has eight forms. Ashta Murti Brit. It has eight limbs or eight forms. Deva Pujanam. So you worship the whole world as an eightfold expression of the Lord. That is what he says. So let us see what is worship. What is prayer? So what we do, it's done a lot in Hindus, but also in other religions. We take a form of the Lord. It could be Buddha, it could be Jesus, it could be Krishna, it could be Shiva, and an idol. And if you place it in front of you and you invoke the Lord in that, even though it's only a piece of stone or a wood or a picture, but you say the Lord is in it. And so by invoking the Lord's grace, and we actually have a very systematic steps in Hinduism where they sit down and actually invite the Lord, even though the Lord is all pervading everywhere, but we say, please come in this idol, or please come in this picture, and please come here. So the Lord is invited. And once the Lord is invited, he is a guest in your house. The Lord is a guest because a guest has come, a very honored guest. So then we treat that idol as if the Lord is in there. And then we, just as when a guest comes to your house, what do? If they have walked a long way and they're tired, you give them a seat, sit down, give them water to wash their feet, you know, if they've been walking, or water to take a bath, you know, if they've been walking and traveling all night, you say, oh, you know, why don't you take a bath? So similarly, we offer water to the idol. Then after they have taken a bath, then you say, okay, give them some food to eat, some water to drink. And then obviously the Lord is welcomed and greeted with fire, you know, greeted with incense. So all these things are to make the Lord feel welcome. And so flowers are offered and all that is offered. And then the Lord's names are chanted. You know, we have the 108 names of all the Lords, you know, which have been written by our masters. So each name, when you chant and you offer a flower, it is like you're filling your mind with the Lord's presence. And it can be any form. See, it doesn't matter which form, but as long as you have faith and devotion, that form for you temporarily becomes the Lord himself. And then ultimately, after the prayer is over, then you say, okay, Lord, thank you for coming. Just as when a guest has come to your house, after he says, okay, it's time for me to leave, then you wish them goodbye and hope to see you again. So similarly, the Lord is sent off with a thank you for coming, that kind of. So this prayer is basically inviting the Lord into your home, recognizing his presence, and then afterwards going. So that is the lower form. What is the higher form? Higher form is the eightfold form of the Lord. As we said, this Lord is omnipresent, number one. He's everywhere. There is no place. He's in the chair and the glass and the mic, everywhere. Not only that, the whole universe came from him. So just as from mud, if you make different parts, colored parts, you know, blue, green, and red, the parts are nothing but mud and mud alone in different shape, forms, colors, names, usage, expression. So similarly, from that one consciousness came this whole universe. So this whole universe is nothing but that one consciousness, the one Lord expressing in different names, forms, colors, animal, birds, plants, fish, humans, and all different type of humans and different expressions and different names and different. So everything is nothing but that one Lord alone. And why do we say the Lord has eight forms? Because all of us are the whole universe is made of eight things: space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and the jiva. Jiva being the individual, the ego. So the space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and the individual ego, the individual personality. Some people call it space, air, fire, water, earth, intellect, mind, and ego. The sun representing intellect, the moon representing mind. So what it is each and every one of us are made of eight. We are made of eight. The space, air, fire, water, earth, intellect, mind, and the ego. And this whole universe is also made of eight: space, air, fire, water, earth, sun, moon, and the individual. An individual could be anything: the plant, the bird, anything that is alive. So when I serve the world, I do not do it with the idea that I am a superior being and that I am serving all these miserable creatures. No, the Lord himself has come in front of me. And so when I serve the world with an attitude of serving the Lord, then my work also becomes worship. Like a pilot, when he's flying a plane, he should think, you know, the Lord himself is flying in my plane today. All these people who are flying. So then his work, every day, the work becomes worship, because I am doing the Lord's work. A secretary sitting at a desk, you know, every customer who comes is the Lord himself. So when with that attitude we work, then every action becomes, when you're, you know, cooking, as we have said, for your family. So every activity becomes service. And what is the Lord? What exactly is the Lord? They say the Lord has three things: a name, form, and essential nature. And the name and form could be different. Like it could be Jesus on the cross, could be Buddha sitting in meditation, could be Krishna playing the flute, could be Mother Goddess, you know, blessing us. So the name and form could be different, but their essential nature is one. The essential nature of the Lord is consciousness, existence, permanent existence, and all pervading existence. And consciousness, that is the life principle which illumines everything and which is awareness. And then, of course, the third nature is bliss. So the name and form we can invoke in worship. The essential nature, one has to sit and meditate. You have to sit and contemplate when your mind is still. And that we'll be talking about in later classes. But when your mind becomes still, in that stillness, when you experience oneness with the Lord, that is the essential nature, and that is, we'll be talking about that later. So when we say the Lord is omnipresent, that means He's there in everybody, including me. I am also a manifestation of that Lord. And that is very, very important, not to forget that. That the Lord is in everyone is also. So when I am also that divinity, then automatically your actions become purer, your actions become superior. You develop universal love for all. And they say that you start initially by saying one name and one form. Okay, Jesus alone is that, or Krishna alone is that, or Buddha alone is that. So that is one name and one form. Then slowly you evolve and say all forms, all the forms of God are one. That means Jesus is one, Krishna is one, Buddha is one, Muhammad is one, Allah is one, Mother Goddess. So they're all nothing but that one expression, taking different forms, and depending on our attraction, depending on our love, you can pick one particular form, but all forms are His. So one name, one form, many names, many forms, and then you extend that to all names and all forms. So all names, you know, whether it's Diana, whether it's George, whether it's Anil, all names, all forms, all colors, all expressions are His. So that is how you slowly expand your vision. So from the lower, where you worshipped only the one idol, you start worshipping the whole world as His expression. And the Lord is sitting in front of me, and then there is no distinction, then there is no separation, then this person is no longer a fanatic. This person does not say only one, my path alone is good, or my book alone is good, or my building alone is good, or my church alone. My prophet alone is good. Yeah, you have love for your prophet and your spirit, religious book, and that is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have equal respect for all others. So that is how you develop more love and more devotion for God. So slowly you start by the lower, and slowly your prayer becomes higher, becomes superior, becomes all-inclusive. And then that is called true worship. So truly you can worship the Lord only if you see the Lord in everything. You cannot limit it to only one, and that is called worship of the Lord. So now with my body, with my speech, and with my mind, I worship the Lord. I sit down and when I am worshiping, my full attention is on that. Okay, after some time I've stopped doing the prayer. Now I want to chant His name. That is superior, because in chanting, your body is not being utilized. Only your mind and your speech. And you are chanting the name of the Lord with full attention. So, that is the next verse. How do we chant? What is chanting? And what is the exact benefit of chanting? Why should we chant the name of the Lord? And that is in verse number 6, page 22. Uttamastava tuchamandataha. Uttamastava tuchamandataha. Chitta jam japa dhyanamuttamam. So, uttama stavat. Stava means doing, singing the glories of the Lord. So, the singing of the glories of the Lord, that is one. Then, what kind of chanting there is? Uccha manda. Uccha means loud chanting. Manda means soft chanting. And chitta jam japa, and chanting in the mind, silent chanting is the best. It is dhyanam, it is meditation, and it is the best. So first is singing the glories of the Lord. And we find that in all religions, song has a very important place in our places of worship. If you go to the Christian churches, you find the gospel music is so popular. You know, they'll have the choir and they'll be singing the music, and then there are so many famous singers who have sold millions of records. There are so many famous gospel singers where they with the music and with the instruments, you know, the whole church or the whole congregation, they all sing together. And in that joint singing, it what it does is that the whole energy becomes one, and it really elevates the mood of the mind when that singing is done with devotion. Singing not just to show off that musical talent, but truly you are offering your voice to the Lord. I remember when we go to the Barbara's church, you know, that how beautifully, you know, the singing is so beautiful. It really uplifts your mind because the quality of the musicians and the devotion and the love which they sing it. So the singing is one way, and in Hindu temples also we have so many bhajans and so many songs. In fact, there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of songs written by all great saints and composed and sung to music. And there are songs devoted to every form of the Lord. And not only songs have a prayer and love for God, but they also have a spiritual message. You know, the verses of Tukaram and Narasimha Mehta and all those great saints not only have love for God, but a very wonderful spiritual message. So singing is very good. Singing the glories of the Lord is good, because that way it's, you know, with the sound and with all the music and with the tune and all, it uplifts your mind and it makes your mind very pleased. It makes us very happy, you know, when you listen to some good song, some good music. But the chanting of the name is considered to be superior. Not that there is anything wrong with singing the glories, we should do that. But if you're sitting alone and you don't feel like singing and you don't have music, you can just chant the name of the Lord. And chanting is considered superior because chanting, it brings me very close to the truth, very close to God. And they say, what is my relationship to God? You know, how should I relate with God? When I'm remembering God, or when I'm singing His glories, or when I'm chanting. So there are three relationships I can have with the Lord. This, if you say, I am this body and I'm working for the Lord, then you say, I'm His servant or her servant. If you think of worship God as a mother goddess. So I'm the servant of the Lord. So that is called karma yoga, where I dedicate my actions to the Lord. All my abilities are from Him. And whatever, just as a servant has no ego of his own, he says, I am just working for the Lord. So if I say I am this body, there's nothing wrong with that. You say, I am a servant of the Lord. But if you say, no, I'm not the body. I'm the mind and intellect. I am a thinking individual and I use my mind and intellect to function. I am a human. I am not just a body. Then you say, I am a part of the whole, because there is a cosmic mind. There is a total mind, total mind, and my mind is part of that and I am connected. So I am a small part of this magnificent universe. I am a little part of that magnificent Lord. And so I am a part of the whole. And I'm an insignificant part, but whatever I can do then what that does is it makes you part or connected with everybody, connected with Lord, and then whatever actions I can do to serve. So I'm not separate, but at the level of the spirit or the consciousness or Brahman, at the level of Om, we are one. God and I are one. We are not separate, because there is only one consciousness, one spirit, one that is called Brahman, that is all pervading, and everything is that and that alone. So God and I are not separate. So there is no difference at that highest level, and that's what we do in meditation. When the mind becomes completely still and the body is not functioning, you're not listening, your mind is not moving, then when that stillness you experience, when the mind gets destroyed, and later on in this text they will talk about how to destroy the mind. Destroy means not to make it disappear, but how to make the mind still so that it becomes one with that. We'll be talking about that. So that is called part of the whole, and then ultimately one. So what does chanting do? What is the benefit of chanting? They say chanting leads to concentration. Because what happens to us, our mind is either multi-pointed or zero-pointed. So what do we mean by multi-pointed? That I'm working in the world and my mind is running in 1,000 directions, here and there, everywhere. And that happens to most of us. Our mind is all the time going, doing this, doing that, thinking this, thinking that. Can't still it, can't quieten it. And that's why people take drugs or if nothing else, they take alcohol or just go to sleep just to quieten the mind. So either it is multi-pointed or it is zero-pointed. Zero-pointed means I'm asleep. If I'm very tired and I had a headache and, oh, I just need to sleep, so I take a sleeping pill, go to sleep. Or I'm tired, I go down to sleep. So either it is multi-pointed or zero-pointed. But in chanting, we make it single-pointed. So instead of many thoughts, my thought is just one single thought, and that is of the Lord alone. So the single-pointed concentration of the mind is acquired by chanting. Now, what do we mean by single-pointed? Single-pointed and concentration means you pick one name of the Lord and you chant that name. And it should be your favorite form, whichever form you love. Pick that form, that name, and chant it with love and devotion. They say, why should I chant the name of the Lord? What is the benefit? Well, suppose you chant an object. Suppose you love Pepsi a lot. So you chant Pepsi, 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 Pepsi. You can keep on doing that, right? That also is a name. And then also your mind will concentrate. After a while, you'll be thinking only Pepsi, Pepsi, Pepsi. But you're not going anywhere, right? You're not getting anywhere. They say, no, I'm not going to think of Pepsi. I'm going to chant something which has no meaning. I just chant, po, 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 po. Yeah, your mind will become quiet. You will be thinking, po, po, po. But it has no form associated with it. It has nothing spiritual, nothing divine with it. It doesn't mean anything. So, but when you chant the name of the Lord, it could even be something like Om, which is again one of God's names. So when you're doing that with devotion, then your mind becomes pure. Because the Lord is all purity, all love, all compassion, all kindness. So when I'm chanting the name of the Lord, like in Christian, suppose you chant the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So you're thinking of the Son, you're thinking of Jesus and chanting that. So your mind gets filled with His love, His compassion. So whatever form of the Lord you chant, you think about His qualities. You think about the loving nature, the giving nature of the Lord. So when you chant the name of the Lord, Swami Chinmayananda says, chant the name of the Lord. Give your mind in love to the Lord. He will purify it and give it back to you. So when you chant the name of the Lord, don't do it mechanically, not just mechanically, but chant it. Like in Hindus, when we meet each other, we say Jai Shri Krishna or Jai Ram, Jai Ram Ji Ki. You know, they chant, they say like that. But if you just say it mechanically, it doesn't mean anything. But if you think that the Lord is in front of me as Krishna or Ram, then when you meet some, or when we meet in our mission, we say Hari Om. Hari Om means you are the Lord in you and the Lord in me is one. Or when we do Namaste, the meaning is the same, that I bow down to the Lord in you. So then your mind becomes pure. Your mind becomes full with that devotion for the Lord. And there are three ways of chanting, which today we shall practice in our meditation, as we do very often. One is loud. Loud does not mean that you wake up, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say loudly, Om, and you wake up all the neighbors, and then they'll call the police. That loud does not mean, or you take a loudspeaker and you chant so that you disturb the whole neighborhood. No. Loud means that you chant so that you can hear it and your neighbor can hear it. The person sitting next to you, not the neighbor across the street, but if a person were to be in the same room. So you start initially by chanting loud, audible chanting, what is called. Audible means the next person sitting next to you can hear it. And then slowly after that, it becomes soft chanting, where only you can hear it. You whisper the name of the Lord, and then ultimately you chant mentally. And this mental chanting is very close to meditation. If you can chant mentally with complete attention, and the chanting should not be done mechanically, done with complete attention, complete devotion, then your mind is become so still that it is ready to go into meditation. And this can be done anywhere. You don't only have to do it in the morning, you know, for before your meditation. I try at least as much as I can. Before I go to bed at night, I lie down in bed and, you know, chant mentally the name of the Lord. When I wake up, I don't get out of bed until I have chanted for a few minutes the name of the Lord. Even if you're sitting and suppose you're sitting in a doctor's office and the doctor is running late and, you know, instead of getting agitated and looking at the watch and looking at the receptionist, you just close your eyes and just chant the name of the Lord. Or you're sitting in a restaurant and the person who was supposed to meet you is 20 minutes or 15 minutes late. Instead of getting angry and keeping looking at the menu, just close your eyes and just chant the name of the Lord. Or if you are at the airport and your flight got canceled, and you know your next connection is 2 hours away, and instead of walking and, you know, yelling at the airline staff, say, okay, this is 2 hours I have extra to now chant the name of the Lord. Sit down and chant, and then slowly you will find that as you are chanting mentally, even nobody even has to know that you are chanting. Just close your eyes. They might think you're sleeping. And as you chant with your eyes closed, you will find that your mind slowly becomes so still that even that chanting disappears. Even that mental chanting is a disturbance. And so in that complete silence, you can go deep within and discover the inner silence. So that is the benefit of chanting, because it is free. It is available to you at all times. You don't need any company. You don't need any partner. You don't need any teacher. You don't need anybody. You just sit alone and you can chant the name of the Lord. And what it does, it brings concentration and purification. And ultimately the mind becomes so still, so quiet, that the need even for chanting goes away. And in that silence, you can go deep within and discover the inner peace, the inner silence. Then the question comes, should we use a rosary? And the rosary is prescribed in all religions, in Hinduism, in Christianity, in Islam. They all give them a rosary to chant. Now, why do we give the rosary? The rosary is a means to help in a concentration. Like say if I'm chanting the name of the Lord, and then if my mind suddenly wanders, you know, and then suddenly goes to my neighbor or goes to my friend or goes to, you know, my money or my work, then before I know it, my mind is gone all over the world and come back. And, oh, you know, I wasted all my time. So when you are chanting, if you use a rosary, what happens is every time you chant one name of the Lord, like Om Namah Shivaya, you move the bead, one bead, and then you move the second bead, and then you move the third bead. So each time you chant, you move the bead, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost one time, then second time, then third time. So what happens is there are 108 beads. So it, you know, or some have 54 beads. So they are multiples of 108. So that means if you want to say chant 108 times, then you can use the rosary. Or if there are 54 beads, you can twice go through that. And one of the beads is elevated so that you know that you have finished 54. And then you can do another 54, or it is 108. So what happens is, suppose I'm chanting and moving the beads and then suddenly my mind wanders somewhere else, what's going to happen? The movement of the hand is going to stop. And then suddenly you become conscious, oh, my hand is not moving. So then the rosary is a reminder which keeps your mind concentrated. And especially in the beginning, a rosary may be useful for chanting. But again, the rosary is something is like any other support. Any other help, eventually it should be dropped and you should be able to chant and remember the Lord wherever you are. So the more opportunities you take to remember, the purer your mind is. So with the body we worship, with the speech we chant. And then next week we'll talk a little bit more about chanting and then go towards contemplation and meditation. So that will be actually the next week. We are going to be doing contemplation and meditation. So how to meditate, that is starting now, that will be next week. But today we just covered these two verses, 5 and 6. So as I said, the teacher is taking us stepwise higher and higher, and eventually will take us to the highest knowledge, which is covered in this beautiful text. So hopefully we can continue that. Any questions, any comments? Yeah, next Thursday, yeah. So I'll announce that.
Oh.
So next Thursday, there won't be a class. Thanks for reminding me. So any comments about today's talk? Any questions? Yeah.
When you chant in your mind, is it the same as chanting out loud too?
Yeah, it is the same. In fact, it's better if you can do it with concentration. Because the noise is still a disturbance. But if you can chant softly and then ultimately chant in your mind and keep your attention, it's harder to do that. Loud chanting is easy to keep your attention, but in the mind is more difficult. But if you can do that, it is very close to meditation. It takes you to meditation. Right, chanting in the mind is the best. That's what even he says. It's the highest. And not only that, the last thought in your mind was the name of the Lord, then that keeps playing. So even your sleep is more peaceful. And you feel more refreshed. Now, chanting in the mind is superior to loud chanting. But again, there is no harm. Whatever way you can remember, if you want to do it loud, that's fine too. You know, you wake up if in the shower, just chant loudly. Nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. That's good. You can remember him. Whatever works. The more often you remember, the better it is. The more often you do it, the better it is. Every opportunity you get, you know. I find it happens more in the morning because I'm starting out my day fresh. But then as you go throughout the day, it becomes more difficult to remember the Lord because then you get so caught up in your work. But if you can find an occasion to remember, that's good. And then again in the evening, it becomes easier because then you're winding down and slowing down. So, but the morning I find is easy to remember because, you know, your mind is fresh. And you have nothing else, you know, except that. Also, I find if you can memorize some good verses from the Gita, from this, some hymns, some psalms, something, then you can even chant without even having a CD player and all that. So you can even play that mentally in your mind. Some good songs, some good, you know, hymns, or even verses, you know, that you particularly you like from any book. Memorizing the verses, I find, is very beneficial. And then you can chant, repeat the verse. Because maybe the one name of the Lord may, after a while, become, you know, a little repetitious, a little boring. So just, you know, chant any mantras or any hymns or any songs that you really like. If you like a particular spiritual song, just memorize that and play it in your mind. Listen to it so often that it gets firmly embedded in your mind. And then you can play it all. I find I enjoy that a lot. If there's a particular song I really like, I listen to it 3, 4, 5 times till I memorized it. And then it plays in my mind without any effort. So yeah, whatever, you know, as often as you can remember. There are all these little tricks. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, music is a beautiful way. That's why they say, you know, singing his glories is very uplifting. The music naturally uplifts us. They say that's why musicians are said to be very close to the truth, because they compose original, and the originality only can come from him. So they are very close. So, musicians, poets, those who compose original pieces are very close to the truth. Or even painters, artists, you know, and any of all these professions are said to be very divine. Holy professions. Because if they do it with the right attitude, you know, if an artist is painting or if he's singing, if he's doing it for the Lord, then that is. See, what happens is when your mind becomes still, you know, one is positive is when you're thinking about the Lord, his glories, you know, his compassion and all. But sometimes in your deep meditation, when your mind is still, some old vasanas emerge, old tendencies. You know, they could be positive or could be negative. So that's when you get fear or you get agitation, because these old vasanas are coming forth, which are being burnt. So in meditation, you go deep into your subconscious mind, if you truly go into the deep meditation. And these negative vasanas tendencies sometimes come out. That's when you experience fear or anger or you know, agitation and all. So at that moment, instead of getting disturbed or stopping, you just become a witness And watch what, because you will, in your meditation, you will find that you will get good and bad experiences. You know, you will suddenly get an experience of extreme peace and stillness. Or sometimes in meditation, you will see colors, you know, blue, violet. In fact, there are certain faiths that actually encourage their devotees to look for colors. Or you can hear sounds, like you might hear bells or you might hear some soft. So if you experience these, think of it as an experience, mental experience. It's not the final truth. It's not the ultimate. You don't think by seeing a blue color, I've realized. Because the blue color was not there first. It came and then went away. The sound of the bells was not there. It came and went away. What was not there came for a while and went away. It cannot be God. Right? Because God is permanent. He was, is, and always will be. So if you have experiences in meditation, that's very good. There's nothing wrong with that. But A, do not get caught up in that experience. Do not get attached to that experience. And do not attempt to duplicate that experience. That yesterday, my meditation was so peaceful. And then today I should do. And the moment you do that, at least I do that, immediately it destroys your meditation, because then your mind comes in there. I am trying to duplicate that I comes. The moment that I comes, then it disappears. So when your mind becomes still, watch it as an experience. It's good. If I heard some sound, if I saw some blue color, good, nothing wrong with that. But that's not the ultimate. These are signposts. These show me that I am progressing. So when you get these kind of mental experiences in meditation, watch them and say, okay, it's good. I'm progressing, but do not get attached and do not try to duplicate that. That is a fatal mistake. A lot of people do that. I must. And then that I comes and must comes. And then you get more disturbed when you don't get that same experience the next day. Because next day it won't happen, because the mind is so vast. Our memories are so huge, you know, lifetimes of memories are there, lifetimes of vasanas are there. You cannot reproduce it, you cannot duplicate it. Just let it go and keep progressing, keep going beyond this, beyond the mind, beyond the vasanas to the Om. Sometimes you find that there is no mind at all, it's just still, the mind is gone, it's disappeared. But then the next day it doesn't happen. So don't get disheartened and don't get attached to that. And don't try to reproduce. But that's a good point, having good or bad experiences. They are both to be watched like a witness without getting attached or without even getting a hatred towards it. Why did I? Sometimes you get very negative thoughts or very angry thoughts. Don't get upset. You know, why in my meditation I should only have peaceful spiritual thoughts of God. No, sometimes you may be digging up some very old, you know, trauma, like if you have had some childhood trauma and all, sometimes that submerges. You know, suppose somebody has been molested or some negative thing has happened to that person, you know, she may experience that and it may come as a very negative emotion, a lot of fear or a lot of anxiety, you know, a lot of. It's okay. It's coming out. Let it go. Let it emerge and let it disappear. That's the Lord's way of cleaning your mind, getting all the negativities out. So it's nothing to be afraid of.